begin. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Ches. Okay, Pasuk says, this is again the Hadaf Torah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We're in the middle. And the Psukim are describing in detail what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. This is a prophecy of great Nechama, a description of Yemos HaMashiach. And Pasuk Ches continues to say that Bibichi Yavo, you will come with tears. When Mashiach comes, and everyone in Klal Yisrael will arrive in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, they will come in a state of crying. Uvisachanunim, with supplication, Ovileim, I will guide them. I will bring them through supplication. I will see what that means in a moment. Olicheim el nachalei mayim, I will guide them over streams of water. Bederech yashar, on a straight path. Lo yikashluva, they will not stumble upon it. Kiyisi lishol av, because I will be Hayisi, because I have been a father for Klal Yisrael. Ve'Ephraim b'choirihu, Ephraim, which is the main theme of these psukim, which appears over and over, the Aseres HaShvatim, as we mentioned yesterday, that the Aseres HaShvatim is called by the name of Ephraim because Yoram ben Nevat, the founder of the Aseres HaShvatim, came from Shevet Ephraim, and therefore we call, and that's the majority of Klal Yisrael, or maybe we're referring specifically to the 10 Shvatim. So we're calling them by the name of Ephraim, B'chori, who he is my firstborn child. B'ni B'chori Yisrael. We had this theme many times, that Klal Yisrael is called the firstborn. Who is the secondborn? A B'chor always means that there's another child, has a connotation, there's another child. So the answer is, the very famous idea is that the Malachim are called the B'nei Elohim. Klal Yisrael is called Hashem's child, B'ni. We call B'nei B'chorei Yisrael. Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. You are children. The Malachim are also called of Hashem's children. By Amod B'nei Elok, there's a pasuk in Eov, the pasuk all over Tanakh, that the Malachim are called the B'nei Elokeichem. However, we are the firstborn. We are the B'nei B'chorei Yisrael. The Malachim are Hashem's children, we are Hashem's children, but we are the firstborn. And here we're referring to Klal Yisrael by the name of Ephraim. Again, it says the theme, Ephraim, Bechori, who he is my firstborn.
Does it mean Bechor among the nations?
That's possible interpretation. Let's see the Mefarshim. Let's see the Mefarshim. Maybe I missed something in the Mefarshim. I told you one, it could be right. Maybe it means, but the Goyim are not even called Hashem's children. Zimras susim zimrasam.
Yeah, but as the example of Yaakov and Esav,
yeah,
it's Hashem that determines who is the
Bechor. Okay, it could be. Okay, it could be. That's another interpretation. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Tavet Pasuches. B'b'chi Yavahu, Ritzon Eloi Mar, Al Yidei Teshuva U'Sefila Egolein. The Mitzudos is learning a very important interpretation of this Pasuk, which is not everyone agrees to this idea, is that when it says they're going to return in B'b'chi, it does not mean, you would be tempted to translate the Pasuk to mean that you will, when you return to Eretz Yisrael, will be with tears. Tears of joy. There are tears, there's crying that one does when he's in a state of tsar. But then people cry when they are in a state of joy. You go to a wedding, go to a very good big simcha, people cry. They cry from simcha. So for whatever reason, that's not what the Mitzudos Tavet says. He interprets the pasuk B'chi means you're going to cry. It's only going to be through the tears of yearning and teshuvah and coming close to Hashem through the galus in the merit of these tears, you will arrive, you will come to Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, there are midrashim that touch upon the tears of Esav. It says in the pasuk that when Yaakov gave the brachos to when Yitzchak gave the brachos to Yaakov, and Esav became aware that he lost out on the brachos, it says in the pasuk that he cried, and Chazal say he cried two tears. And because he cried two tears, that's why he had the power to destroy the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Had he cried a third tear, The Medrash says that the third tear was it swelled up in his eyes. And if that third tear would have descended down his cheeks, then there would not be any survivor among Klal Yisrael. Then that koyach of Esav would overwhelm Klal Yisrael. And Chas v'Shalom, there would not be a Bayis Shlishi, or the Bayis Shlishi would be subject to his contamination.
But
he
cried for selfish reasons.
So the Medrash appears to say no, he did not cry for selfish reasons. We assume that Esav was an Oisvarf. We just write him off as a thug, as just a good for nothing.
It's not just that.
That's what?
It's not just that.
Okay, but that's not accurate. Esav was an extremely complex person. Esav had very sophisticated calculations, and what is the purpose of man in this world? Esav, without question, acknowledged that the value of coming close to Hashem and being mekabel the Torah. He just, his yetzer hara was so overwhelmed, and he was unable to do what was required of him to be worthy of receiving the brachas. But it does not mean to say that Esav did not appreciate the value of the brachas. Here, this moment when he was fooled, when he thought that he would be able to get away with it, he would be able to get the brachas from his father, from Yitzchak. So he, even though he was living a lifestyle that was not in line, that was not consistent with what the brachas were all about, he felt maybe not me, maybe my children, my grandchildren, there are many different approaches, different ideas to what was going through the mind of Esav. But one thing is clear, Esav had an appreciation of the real deal. It's like they say about people in Eretz Yisrael, and they say that the conservative movement in Eretz Yisrael, at least in the past, was not very popular. You had two different types of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. You had the Orthodox Jews, the Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, and Rachman Litzlan. There are people in Eretz Yisrael that are not yet religious. So you ask the people, so why don't you at least go to a conservative shul? Why don't you go to a reform shul? Why is the reform movement and the conservative movement, at least in the past, today it's picking up, unfortunately, but why was it so unpopular? So the answer, I don't know, they're jokes, they're expressions, and they basically say, the shul that I don't daven in is the Orthodox shul. Israelis are very clever, they're very smart, and you can't fool them. They know the real deal is the Orthodox. That's the tradition. This is the Messiah. For whatever reason, they are not yet, they're not yet ready for it. But you're not going to fool them. You're not going to go and fool them and give them something watered down, a conservative or reform service. This is a joke. They themselves can appreciate it. Only in America. Exactly. You have to be this. You have to be on a madrega to be not be kairos. A person is totally ignorant. And you walk around the streets and you say you don't believe. That's not be kairos. To be not be kairos, you have to have smicha. You have to learn daf yomi. You have to be a Talmud Chacham.
You have to be a
Talmud Chacham to be Napi Kairis. You have to know what you're dealing with. Just stam, a person is ignorant, he walks the streets, doesn't know if the Aleph Bey is, all of a sudden you don't believe in anything, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that. You're not Napi Kairis, you're a Shaita. You're a Tippish. You're a Shaita. You're a lazy good for nothing. You're a good for... Esav was not a lazy, good-for-nothing, a shaita. Esav was a very complex person. He had a very deep appreciation for Yadus, for Torah, for the brachos. And when Esav saw at that moment in time, when Yaakov fooled him and took the brachos, and he came back home, and he now realized it was all over, he cried. And those tears were sincere. Those tears were extremely potent because those tears brought out the essence of his neshama, the potential that was there for him to be part of Klal Yisrael. No?
I'm sorry, that's just giving him too much credit.
No, I don't believe so. I can't.
Because he wanted to dominate the world. And
for selfish reasons?
So many chazals that point to his motives.
Yeah.
We don't need to sugarcoat.
But there is the Chazal come along and they say that only because of those tears, this is how I can't give you a source. This is how I remember being taught this idea.
Pain to somebody, and it was great pain, and therefore.
If you take a person who is a wicked a serial killer, and you torture him, you cause him pain, and you cause him to cry, do those tears have any significance?
No.
Of course not. This person is a serial killer. He has caused enormous pain to mankind, and now you're going to say, "Oh, when I go and I torture him and I cause him to cry a few tears, so I'm going to suffer because I've caused another human being to cry." It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. So why then are the tears of Esav considered so significant that only because those tears he had the power to destroy the Bayis Rish and the Bayis Sheni? And Chazal go further to say that if he would have, if the third tear would have been released from the glands in his eyes, he would have been able to prevent the building of the Bayis Shlishi. He would have been able to finish off Klal Yisrael. Why? Why, if you learn that Esav was just a simple person, just a wicked person, a selfish person who wants to dominate the world for his own selfish self, why should that those tears have any significance? Obviously, Chazal mean, I'm not telling you my own idea, I'm telling you what I've heard taught to me. I don't remember, I can't give you a source for this. Maybe, yeah, I'm sure if we look, we'll find. But those tears.
He's the son of
Yitzchak. He has an appreciation.
But we do give him some. Don't we give him some credibility as a result of being the son of Yitzchak?
Yes, exactly the point. And that's why those tears are tears that are potent. They have spirituality in those tears. A recognition that it was really meant to be for me, this gift of spirituality, and I now have pain that has been taken away from me, and that pain is a very real, significant pain which unfortunately was able to have an effect against Klal Yisrael, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and it would have an effect on the Bayis Shlishi if not for the miracle that the third tier did not descend. Now, therefore, that is why, this is what it says, I believe, in the Medrash, this is why we need, the Pasuk here says, the Pasuk Ches, Bibichi Yavohu. Throughout the entire history of Klal Yisrael, through Golis, through 2,000 years of Golis, Klal Yisrael have shed an infinite number of tears. And those tears are there to be mevatel, are there to negate, to counteract the tears of Esav. You'll ask, so why do we have to have so many tears? The answer is because those tears of Esav were extremely real, were very sincere, were potent. And unfortunately, when we cry in Galus, sometimes we're crying for the wrong reasons. So when we're crying for the wrong reasons, then our tears don't have the ability to negate the tears of Esav. It takes generations of tears to accumulate, to have the potency to counteract the tears of Esav Harasha. That's why Bibichi Yovohu. We will come to serve Hashem with tears. Now let's go back to the idea. This is a very famous that we mentioned this in the shir a couple of times from Rav Schwab. What's the simple translation? If you would not see this mitzudos, and you would just translate the pasuk simply, Bibichi Yovohu, what would you say? You would see that we're going to arrive with tears of joy. Finally, after 2,000 years of Golus, Mashiach is here, and we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to arrive on Admas HaKodesh, we're going to bow down, kiss the earth, and we're going to release tears of joy. So Rav Schwab says something very fascinating. It says in the Pasuk, Umoch Hashem Lokim Dima Me'al Kol Panim. Why does it say that when Mashiach comes, Hashem, when the Gula comes, and the Malach HaMov is eradicated, Hashem will wipe away the tears, Me'al Kol Panim. So he says something which has to be understood and has to be really investigated, is every time a person cries tears of joy, subconsciously, those are tears of tsar. There's no such thing, Rav Schwab writes, as a tear of joy. When a person comes to a simcha and he's crying, that's because he's in an emotional state. And when a person reaches an emotional state, it triggers in the back of his mind memories, painful memories. Pain and joy touch upon emotion. And they're located in the same part of the brain. When a person reaches a high emotional state of joy, you are entering in the same zone in one's deeper subconscious as where the emotions of pain are found. You're triggering memories of pain. The person comes to a simcha, deep down, he now feels all those memories of tzar that he had his entire life, and it's released. when the time of Mashiach will come and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove all forms of suffering, then in intense moments of joy, there will not be any tears. So there will not be anything as tears of joy. Tears of joy are not really tears of joy. It's an emotional state which touches upon a person's tsar, pain that he experienced in his lifetime, and that causes a release of tears. But if there is no person in his life never ever experienced pain, if there could be such a thing possible, and now he comes to a very high emotional state of joy, there will not be any tears. This is what Rav Shimon Schwab suggests.
He uses that to say, why, when you laugh very much with simcha, you always have tears.
Because he's saying, exactly what we said. Because when you are entering an emotional state, you are triggering, you are entering the zone in your mind where there is also pain. So the tears of joy that are released are really subconsciously tears of pain. If Hashem will remove from mankind all forms of pain, then we will experience joy. It will not be accompanied by tears. Therefore, this pasuk, according to that interpretation, that's why it could not possibly mean bibichi yavahu, that when you come to the time of Mashiach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu eradicates all forms of tsar, you will come and cry with tears of joy. That's not true. Tears of joy are really tears of pain. Now that's a bit controversial. This whole idea, I once mentioned this, someone told me, he doesn't think it's true, a psychologist told me he doesn't think it's true. He thinks that there really is this idea that every tear, when you cry at times of joy, you're really triggering tears of pain. That's not every psychologist agrees that is correct. It could very well be that there are tears of joy as well. And also, we have to understand that we just read the previous pasuk yesterday. The previous pasuk said, Bo iver ufiseach harav yoledes yachtov, which we learned according to the Mishnah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring a person back at time of Chiyas HaMesim. He's going to be brought back in the same state of disability that he was when he was alive. He'll be lame, he'll be blind, and only at a later point in time will he be healed. So if we're continuing along with that theme, when the Geula comes, there will still be pain. People will still have memories of the difficult times that existed, and it will take time until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will purge from us all forms of pain. And if that's true, it's not a process that happens overnight, it takes time. At least in the beginning, when we have joy, the joy will be mingled with pain, and there will be tears of pain. So this idea is not a simple idea. However, the Mitzudo says that when it says here, Bebechi Avohu, it means in the merit of crying throughout the years of Golis, the 2,000 years of Golis, in that merit you will come, you will enter into times of Mashiach, and it fits very well with the Medrash that we began with, that the tears that we shed in Golis come to counteract and cancel the tears of Esav HaRasha when he cried over the loss of receiving the bracha from Yitzhak. So let's review those words of the Mitzvahs again inside. B'b'chi Yavohu, Ritzon Eloimar, Alidei Teshuva Usfila Egolem, through Teshuva and Tefila will redeem them, El Nachalei Mayim. And then the pasuk goes on to say, V'sachanunim of Yilem, that's really part of the previous expression, Olicheim El Nachalei Mayim, I will guide them to over streams of water, Eitzel Nachalei Mayim, I will guide them, they will return to Eretz Yisrael near streams of water, Laman Yimsu, they will find, Laman Yimsu, Leravois Hatzimaon, in order to quench their thirst as they return to Eretz Yisrael. Bederech Yashav, Derech Shaveh, Bibli Akmimus, there will be no crooked roads, Laman Lo Yikosh Tubam, so that they will not stumble when they return to Eretz Yisrael. And then the pasuk goes on to say that Hashem says, I have always been as a father for Klal Yisrael, and Ephraim is my firstborn. What does it mean to have a father? L'chashosh b'takanosam, to seek out his benefit. Ke'ov, as a father, ha'choshesh b'takanas b'no, is always seeking out the good and the welfare of his son. B'chorihu, chaviv olai keben b'chor la'aviv, he's precious to me like a firstborn. Look, we say now in the Avinu Malkeinus, there's Avinu and Malkeinu, two different dargos. Okay, Rashi, there's only one short Rashi, but B'chi Yavohu says exactly the same thing as the Mesudos, al yidei tefila uteshuva, in the merit of these two things, Klal Yisrael will return to Hashem. Let us see the Radak pasuk ches v'b'chi yavaru yesh b'chi shel simcha. So he here, as he gives us the interpretation that we began with, the other interpretation which the Mitzvot and Rashi reject, it means tears of joy. Kemo vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel vayisa eskoiloi vayefk. Yaakov, when he saw Rachel, he kissed her and he cried. And that itself is subject to much interpretation. Why did he cry? Rashi says it wasn't tears of joy, they were tears of tsar. He saw al pi ruach hakodesh that he would not be buried next to Rachel. The Radak disagrees. Radak says he saw Rachel, he met his bashert, it was his engagement party, so he cried tears of joy. You see, machlokes rishonim, what does the mean in that pasuk? You know what they say? I think the Satmar Rav says, why did he cry? Because no one's going to understand. Here he kissed a girl. Yaakov Avinu kissed the girl, so he knew that what are all the Haredim going to say about him? That all the generations, they're going to say, what kind of yeshiva guy is this Yaakov? He goes out into the street and he sees a girl, and he meets a girl and he kisses a girl. So Yaakov Avinu, he saw this as a joke. Obviously, he saw that they're going to write him off as an oistvarf. So he cried. He cried. He cried that over the loss of his good reputation. Here he spent 14 years learning. He learned in Brisk. Shein v'Eiver was the Brisk of Aram Naharayim. And here he kisses a girl, so he cried. Vayev al tzavar of Od. Okay, so again we have another controversial interpretation of the Radak, that when Yaakov met Yosef and Yaakov, they cried on each other's necks. Why were they crying? So the Radak says they were tears of joy. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says they were tears of tsar. Each one was crying over the loss of Beis Hamikdash. Yaakov cried over the neck of, I'm sorry, of Binyamin. Sorry, I'm Binyamin. Binyamin and Yosef over Churban Shiloh and over the two Batei Mikdashos. So these were tears of tsar. V'hadayimim lohem kein huzeh mirov simcha sheyovo li'aretzam yivku, due to the joy they cry. Ki kama shanim golu mimena, because we have been exiled from Eretz Yisrael for many years. U'v'sachanunim oivileim inin chemla v'rachamim. Hashem says, I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael with compassion. Kemo chaluna p'nei kel v'chonenu, seek out the face of Hashem v'chonenu. Levilti hayos lachem techina, different psukim where we find the word techina in reference to favor, to rachamim. Hoysa techina me'es Hashem lokenu, v'adam lachem inin chemlo v'rachamim. Yonas antirgim b'mig lehoin, in their golos, b'mig kar havon b'chon v'gom. I don't know what that means. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem them, b'mig lehoin kar havon b'chon, they're going to cry when they return. El nachale mayim, kumo al nachale mayim, kumo vayach esaplishti al mitzchoy, kumo al mitzchoy. The saying el means al. El is saying al. El hechorim lo ochol, kumo al v'hadem lohem. So he's not saying near springs of water. It means Hashem. It's an expression. Hashem is going to guide us back with all of the bracha. The Ephraim b'chayrihu. Ephraim is my firstborn. Zohar Ephraim ki roi v'Yisrael. The heim. We had the same thing yesterday. The heim aser sashvatim hayu b'malchus Ephraim tchila kishenechlucha malchus. The achar kach nikru b'shem Ephraim, and from there on in, the entire Klal Yisrael is called by the name Ephraim. V'yamar bekama mekoymos Yehuda v'Ephraim. Sometimes we want to differentiate between the Aseres HaShvatim and the two Shvatim, so we mention Yehuda and Ephraim. Here we're only mentioning Ephraim. U'mashah ma'b'chorihu. Why here do we say that he's my firstborn? The feature nosna ha'b'chorili Yosef. Because to whom did God a double portion? V'ani nasati l'cha shchem achat alacha. Chashlokachtem, Ephraim, that Yosef got a double portion. Ephraim and Menashe, each one was considered to be a separate shevet. He got a separate portion because Yosef got the pishnayim. He was given, that's why we're calling Ephraim the firstborn. Because from shevet Ephraim, which is a descendant of Yosef, is where is the pishnayim. Oy perushoy, or another interpretation, we're calling him the Bukhar. Bukhar does not always mean a firstborn. It means precious. Chavivu, alai, kiben ha-Bukhar le'aviv, like a firstborn is precious to his father. V'chein amar b'ni Bukhar Yisrael, le'in chiba v'yava, v'chein tirgim yonis, and v'efraim chabib hu kodoma, he's precious before me. Okay, now there's an important medrash. I thought it was a Das Zekenim, but I saw it's really, really, I think it comes from a Medrash, that Ephraim refers to Avraham and Yitzchak. Both Ephraim is the plural of Efer. Everyone knows this is a very popular word. Ephraim is the plural of Efer. Of Efer. When you want to take a word, you want to make the word plural, you add a Yud Mem. So Efer means ash, and we want to describe the multiplicity of Ash, so we add a Yud Mem, it's Ephraim. Why and who is the double portion of Ash? Avraham. Avraham said about himself, V'anochi afar v'efer. It was meant to be that I should have been burnt to a crisp and turned into Ash by Nimrod when he threw me into the Kivshan HaEsh. And Yitzchak is by the Akedah, he was replaced by the Ayil, V'inei Ayil. Achar nechaz basvach, and the isle was offered in the place of Yitzchak, and Chazal said that the ash, the afer of the isle is tzavur, is piled before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a constant reminder of the Akedah, and that ash corresponds to Yitzchak. So when we talk about the ash of Avraham and the ash of Yitzchak, and we bring them together, so Efer plus Efer turns into Ephraim. And that's why this is very appropriate for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, when we lay in this Haftarah, because this Haftarah, what do we lay on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? The Akedah. The Kriyas HaTorah is the Akedah. In fact, the entire theme of the entire Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is the Akedah. We blow with the Shofar Shel Ayil in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember the Akedah, the Zichus of the Akedah. In Zichroinos, we elaborate upon the Akedah. Everything comes back and focuses on the Akedah. The Akedah had two partners. It was a Nisayon for Avraham, and it was a Nisayon for Yitzchak. And there is discussion, the commentators, for whom was it a greater Nisayon? Was it a greater Nisayon for Avraham to offer his firstborn son? Or was it a greater Nisayon for Yitzchak to allow himself to be offered as a sacrifice? After it would have been over, he would have been dead. Avraham would have lived on. Maybe Avraham would have the opportunity to have another child. We don't know. But Yitzchak, it would have been curtains for Yitzchak. And also the big sign of is that Hashem never spoke to Yitzchak. Hashem spoke to Avraham. So Yitzchak had the Nisayon to believe when Hashem said, see, the Nisayon for Yitzchak is greater than the Nisayon that we today have, Bizman Hazeh. This is a topic we discussed many times, is that what is the difference between Judaism and all other religions in the world? Every other religion, every other major religion, whether it's Islam or Christianity, all begins with the approach that God came to me and spoke to me. Trust me. One man tells the whole world, I had a revelation, whether he was Mohammed or whether he was Yashka, and he says to everyone in the world, trust me, trust me. You did not have this revelation, but I did. And if I did, you have to trust me. Really? Whenever someone tells you to trust them, you know you're in trouble. Right? Someone says, give me your money. I'm going to invest all of your money in an opportunity of a lifetime. Trust me. When someone tells you that, you know that you're finished. You know that someone's taking advantage of you. By Klal Yisrael, we don't have that. Why not? Because every single neshama of Klal Yisrael was present at Har Sinai. When the Torah was given, there were 600,000 males. They all heard. just like Moshe Rabbeinu, no different than Moshe Rabbeinu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There was no difference between Moshe and every other member of the entire Klal Yisrael. And Chazal go even further and say all of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael that would come in the future were nichlal in those 600,000 neshamas, and they maybe even close the door, and they thank you very much, everyone was present. Now, this is very interesting because this is not true with regard to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was not there when Hashem said to Avram, "Kach nas binchas yichidcha asher havtes Yitzchak v'lechcha l'eretz hamri v'halei yoshan lila achad ha'arim." So this claim that the Umos Olam, their false religion, which we reject out of hand, is a sign that it's total nonsense. We have to come on to this, and there is greatness in this concept. I mean, they're liars, obviously, but when it comes to the Akedah, that was the Nisoyon. I think the Sfasemis writes about this. That was the Nisoyon of Yitzchak. What?
He didn't tell him until the end. Because he said, "I asked Eliyahu."
He did not know until the very end. I asked Eliyahu, "V'Hashem Yiruloi Haseh Lo Oyla Bini Yiruli Oyla." He told him at the very end. When they began their last leg of the journey, he revealed that you are the Seh. Why did he say before? I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Afraid to run away.
Maybe. I don't know. We don't know. But at the very end he told him, and obviously he said to him, "How do you know, Father? Who told you this?" So Avraham basically said to him, Trust me. Hashem revealed himself to me and he told me to do this. And that's a very big nisayon. That's a greater nisayon, the Sfasemis says, than Avraham's nisayon, because Avraham, Hashem at least spoke directly to Avraham. So Yitzchak had a very, and this argument, trust me, is something which we reject out of hand. We don't believe in this concept, trust me. That's why we're able to completely reject Christianity and Islam, because that's their whole religion is based upon the principle of trust me. And Yadus, we were all there. What?
We don't base our entire religion on
the Akedah, right? We don't base the entire religion. Of course, we believe that Matan Torah was we were all there. But this prat, this element of Mesiras Nefesh, which is a major theme in Yadus, is based upon trust, and that is Yitzchak.
But don't we trust on the Moshe Rabbeinu? Give an example.
A Navi has to prove himself.
No, but I'll give you an example. Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Maisa, when Aaron burned the carpet, right?
Yeah.
So Aaron challenged him, "Did you hear from the Kodesh Baruch Hu?" And the Moshe said, "Yes."
Moshe, though, you're making a very good point, but you're right. There's no question you have to trust a Navi, you're right. But a Navi also has to give a sign. A Navi, one of the rules of being a Navi is to prove yourself through giving a sign, whether it's to predict an event that will happen in the future or to do something. Moshe, when he came to Klal Yisrael, he turned the mat into a Nachash back into a mate. He it was saras. He turned water into dam. Moshe Rabbeinu did signs. Moshe proved himself. It does not, to the best of my knowledge, does not say anywhere that Avraham proved himself to Yitzchak. He doesn't say that he proved himself. He said to Yitzchak, "Elokim yirelo hasel oila bini, Hashem has selected you, my son, to be the korban oila." That's a very great expression of faith, and to some degree with Samech on Yitzchak on Yimei Hadin even more than Avraham, because it all comes down to Emunah. This is the last staff of Masechta Makos, the Tzadik be'emunah so yichya ba chavakuk vehenidon al achas. We live in a generation where it's impossible to focus, to be meticulous in the Tayag Mitzvos the way we should be. The only thing that Gemara advises us to focus on with the full intensity is the concept of Emunah. And that is something which Yitzchak expressed himself in a very great way. So Rosh Hashanah, what? So who is the team? Who are the main major players of Rosh Hashanah? It's not Yaakov. It's Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham, who was instructed to do the Akedah, and Yitzchak, who was an equal, if not even a greater partner in the Akedah, these two together make up the name Ephraim. Efer ve'efer, v'anochi ofar ve'efer. Avraham humbled himself to do Hashem's ratzon. When Avraham said v'anochi ofar ve'efer, what was he saying? Hashem, whatever you want for me, I'll do. I'm willing to throw my neshama, my life, my body into the furnace for your honor. If you'll tell me to give up my nitzchias, my child Yitzchak, I'm willing to be turned into ash. I'm willing. Yitzchak also was willing to allow himself to be offered as a sacrifice. So the combination of the humility of Avraham and Yitzchak together is Ephraim, and that is why the major. It adds more elegance to the selection of this section in Yirmiyah for the Haftorah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's not just that, it's a beautiful nevuah referring to what's going to be at the time of Mashiach, the Geula HaSida, the day of Ahoya Bayoyim Ahu Yitoka B'Shofer Gadol Ovo Evdin B'Yeretz Asher. But the theme that appears over and over here is the description how Klal Yisrael is called Al Shem Ephraim. Klal Yisrael are maminim b'nei maminim. And this is the essential ingredient we need to survive on the Yimei Hadin.
Is this part of your Rosh Hashanah?
No, I don't have a shtel. Okay. Okay, let's go further. So this concludes the pasuk. Now we go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test. Shimud Rashem Goyim. Now we are addressing the nations of the world, and listen, the islands should listen in the far distance, the Imru, and they shall say as follows. They shall say, the nations of the world shall say, Mizorei Yisrael Yikabitzenu. The one who scattered the Jewish people, he should be the one that will gather them in once again. Hashem is the one, the Mizra. Hashem is the one who caused us to be dispersed due to our sins. We have been exiled. And this is describing the time of Yimot HaMashiach, when the whole world, we learned yesterday the pasuk, when the whole world hears the shofar, the whole world hears the announcement that Mashiach is here. The first thing the goyim do is, we got to get the Jews where they belong. It's for our benefit that Klal Yisrael be returned to Eretz Yisrael, and they recognize that they need some help. It's very interesting, this pasuk, is that they are not able, the goyim recognize that they alone are not going to be able to restore every member of Klal Yisrael to their homeland. They need Hashem to help them. Mizorei Yisrael, the one who is the cause of the Jewish people being scattered throughout the world, he should step up, Hashem, and assist us in helping him bring every member of Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael Yikabetzenu Ushmoroi, and then Hashem should guard all of his people Kiroya, like a shepherd who guards Edro, his flock. This parallels what it says in Yeshayah. Yeshayah says that the people, the Umos Olam, will bring presents to the Melech HaMashiach. What could you give? What could you give the Melech HaMashiach that he doesn't already have? What are you going to give him? You're going to give him a book? You're going to give him, when Obama went to meet, when he first became president, he went to greet Queen Elizabeth. So what did he give her? What gift did Obama give Queen Elizabeth? What? Portrait of Churchill? No. He gave her a collection of DVDs, the best American movies. Right, remember that? What a bazillion. Okay, in the olden days, when you go and you greet a king, you greet a head of state, you bring them, I don't know, you bring them jewels, you bring them something of value, some here to go bring the Queen of England, America. What is America? Hollywood, entertainment, DVDs of the best that we have to offer. Like she needs to go watch. Queen Elizabeth is going to go. I have nothing better to do than to go watch some American movies. It's a bazillion. Okay, but you talk about in the real deal of giving a head of state, you give them something of very great significance. What?
Queen Sheba gives to Shmuel.
It says she gave him spices. I think spices, something like that. Different types of incense. Things, rare things that you can't get somewhere else. Something that is unique. When Yaakov Avinu, we had this beautiful machshava from it was the first, the Pshut Shal Mikra, when Yaakov sent his children to Yosef, the Mishnah Lemelech, so he said, if you're going to go in Cain Zos, bring Paro, bring the Mishnah Lemelech from the song of the earth, which means fruit. We have here in Eretz Yisrael fruits that they do not have in Egypt. So bring a gift, the best, the things that make you sing, present this to the Mishnah Lemelech. Rabbi Wolfson has a beautiful machshava, it's probably based upon a medrash, that the gift was a song. They composed a unique melody, a melody from Eretz Yisrael, Zmiris, and go and present this melody to the Mishnah Lemelech. They've never heard such a beautiful composition. No, the DVD, that's a joke. That's not So here, so what are you going to present? You know, when it comes Father's Day, they always say on advertisements, what can you give the person that has everything? What can you give a person that has already everything? Get another tie? You're going to go buy another tie? What are you going to get the person? So this is going to be a real challenge for the Melech HaMashiach. When heads of state will come and greet the Melech HaMashiach, be given an audience to present him with a gift, what are you going to give the Melech HaMashiach? So it says in Yeshaya, they're going to present the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. They're going to bring with them people, and they're going to say to the Melech HaMashiach, we have done research, we've opened up the archives, and we can say definitively that this person is a Jew. This person is Jewish. The whole world thinks he's a non-Jew. No one would ever expect, would ever realize. But we've used all of the resources available to us, DNA testing and who knows what, all the records to uncover that this person is a neshama from Gesundheit, from Klal Yisrael, that has been lost throughout the ages. And here we are to present the neshama back to you, the Melech HaMashiach, to return him to his roots. There's no greater gift you can give the Melech HaMashiach than to return a lost neshama from Klal Yisrael. And that idea that is said explicitly in Sefer Yeshaya, I don't have the pasuk on the tip of my tongue, it's mamish a pasuk, it's a pasuk, is really what it says over here in Yirmiyah. Again, all of the Nevi'im are seeing a snapshots of the same event. It's just that they're expressing these snapshots that they see in their own unique signum, in their own unique style. And that's exactly what it's saying. The Umos Olam, they now realize the Mashiach is here. The Imru, they're going to say, Mizarei Yisrael Yikabitzenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should, the first thought on their minds is that we should be partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in gathering all of the Jews. We are head of state and who knows where, in some third world country. We have to check into our records. Maybe we have here some Jews from the ten lost tribes, and we have to restore them. And we're going to need Hashem to assist us in finding these neshamos and returning them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now guard them like a shepherd guards his flock. Why? Pasuk Yud, Kifada. This pasuk was saying davening only a million times. Kifada Hashem es Yaakov. Hashem at this point in time has redeemed Yaakov. Uge Aloi, Miyad Chazak, and has redeemed him Miyad from the hand. Chazak Mimenu, has redeemed Yaakov from the hand of who is more powerful than him. The nations of the world in Golis are more powerful than Yaakov. They have subjugated us. But now the time has come, and Hashem has redeemed Yaakov, and Hashem has redeemed us. Now notice this pasuk concludes the trial. And that is, after we've mentioned Ephraim b'chori hu, now we have Yaakov. And that concludes the three shvatim. You have Ephraim, which is Avraham and Yitzchak, and then you have Yaakov, which is the third of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In essence, that's really what That is what Yosef did. Yosef had two children. He had Ephraim and Menashe. Who did he name after this? This is where the Das Zakenim comes. And then we mentioned before that the Baalei Tosfos Das Zakenim. Why did he name his two children Ephraim and Menashe? He named them after the Avos. What is Menashe? Menashe is Kinoshani Elokim Esbeis Avi. Hashem has caused me to forget my father's home. Here I am in Egypt. I've been very lucky. I've been very fortunate. I was put in jail, but I've now become the Mishneh LeMelech. I've been given Osnas Bas Botifera as my wife. I'm living a life of greatness, and I'm beginning to forget where I come from. I'm beginning to forget I come from Eretz Canaan, and my father is Yaakov Avinu. So I don't want to forget. See, the Pasuk Shad in the Pasuk is Kinoshani Lakim is Beis Avi, that I've forgotten. I forgot where I came from. How could Yosef HaTzadik say that I'm so happy here in Egypt. I'm living here for 22 years. It's wonderful that I've totally forgotten where I came from. I can put that behind me. That's not what Yosef would do. It's just the opposite. Life here is so good for me, I feel that as if I'm beginning to forget where I come from. Therefore, as a constant reminder of where I really belong, where I come from, I'm going to name my child Menashe, coming from the word Kinoshani Elokim Es Beis Avi, to remind me of my father. I should not forget my father. Who is my father? Yaakov. That was Menashe. Who was the second son? Now that I've named a child after my father, I guess he was a Sfardi Yosef. The Sfardim named their children after the living, right? That's what the Sfardim do. I spoke to someone Erev Rosh Hashanah, a woman, and I asked her, I haven't spoken to her in a long time, and I asked her, did you have any new simachos, any good news since the last time I spoke to you? So she said, yes, I had a new grandchild, a new granddaughter. So I said, very nice, what's the name of the baby? And she said, it's my name. They're my children, they named the child. And I can detect over the phone, she was glowing with nachas, that they named the child after, because that's what the Sfaradim do. They named them the children after the parents in their lifetime. I know an Ashkenazi who desperately wanted his children to do the same thing. He had a real Ashkenazi family in this neighborhood, and he had a grandson, and he asked his children, I want you to name the baby after me. I want to see in my lifetime a child named after me. So the children, they know they're like Lakewood, they're like from the Lakewood crowd, so they were very shaken up. Like, well, what's going on here? Our father is demanding of us to name the baby after him in his lifetime. This is what the Sfardim do. We learn a Lakewood. This is now. It's not going to go off well at the Bris to go name. And our father also. He's not a Sfardi. What does he? What does he want this? So they went to. I don't know who they went. They went to a big Rav. They went to a big Pesach, and they asked him what to do. And the Pesach says, "You don't do it." He says. He told him not to do it. He says, even though this Kibbutz Avraham and so on and so forth. This is not the custom among the Ashkenazim. You don't name children after the living. That's not the way it's done among the Ashkenazim. Okay, that's a side point. But here, Yosef named his child Menashe after Yaakov. And then when he had the next child, he named it after Avraham and Yitzchak. He knew he's only going to have one more child because the famine was coming. And you're not allowed to have children during the famine. So now he had a chaperein. So how are you going to name one child after two people? He'll call it Ephraim, because Avraham is called Efer, Ranochi Ofar Ve'Efer, and Yitzchak is the Efer Shal Ayel Shal Yitzchak, the Ephraim is Tzavar Lufanov, so Efer plus Efer turns into Ephraim, so the second child was named after Avraham and Yitzchak. So that's why he had Menashe was Yaakov, and Ephraim was Avraham and Yitzchak. Here we have exactly those two again. We have in the previous pasuk. It's the biggest zuchus, the biggest koyach that we can come onto on the Yom Noraim is the zuchus of us, Avram Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and that's exactly what we do in the Hiras HaTorah. Is first we mention Ephraim B'chari Hu, and then we mention Kifado Hashem Es Yaakov Ugi Olam Miyad Chazak Mimenu Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Okay, let's. The most right. The word Yisrael. Dr. Freeman says something important. Yisrael. You have to repeat the letters again. As all the letters Yisrael spell out the letters of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the
Yisrael.
The Yud. Use the Yud twice. And the Mos, Sar, Rivka, Rachel, Leah.
The first letter
of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, all appear in the name Yisrael. Okay, let's go further. Let's see if we have the mitzvahs in Pasuk, these two psukim in Pasuk test. The mitzvahs of the Higidu. Masha Tishmu, this that you hear, Higidu Vo'ayim Haruchaikim, this report that Mashiach is here, the Yomos HaMashiach have arrived, announce it, broadcast it to the furthest corners of the world, to the islands. Masha Tishmu Hagidu Vo'ayim Haruchaikim V'imru Koisamu, so shall be the announcement. Hinei HaMefuzar, The one that scattered, the scatterer, is Hashem, Hamakoyim. Now he's defining who is the one that is the cause of Klal Yisrael being scattered throughout the entire world. I'm reading from the Mitzudos. Pasuk Tes. The Imru. Dibur Hamaskel the Imru. The Imru. Koisam. Who hine hame fuzar. Who is
Yisrael?
Oh yeah, okay, I have a different word, fine, okay. Hamokom yikabetz oso. Amufuza bu'umos. Hine Yisrael amufuza bu'umos. Okay, Yisrael that has been dispersed among the nations. Okay, I don't have that, so I guess it's a mistake over here. I'll mark it off. Hamokom yikabetz oso. HaMeyakadosh Baruch Hu, gather him. The Yishmeru kiroye Hashem edre. HaMeyakadosh Baruch Hu, gather him. And may Hashem guard him like a shepherd guards his flock. Pasik Yud in the Mitzudos, so there is no Pasik Yud. Now let's see here. There is? I don't think I have it. Look at that. Do I have it? Okay, for some reason in my edition it disappeared. I really don't have it here. I don't see it anywhere. Okay, there are a lot of mistakes in this edition. What? Yeah. Kifada Hashem, we mentioned that. Kifada Hashem es Yaakov Ugo Lom Yad Chazak Mimenu. Let me open up to hear this edition. Okay. V'imru Kifada Min HaGoyla. Hashem has redeemed from the exile. The next word is Mimenu Mi'Yisrael HaMosur B'Yodo. Hashem has redeemed the Jewish people from those nations that are more powerful than them, and that is Mimenu Mi'Yisrael Mi'Yisrael Ugi Olo. Hashem has redeemed him Miyad Chazak from Yisrael, from the hand that is more powerful than the Jews. Hashem has redeemed the Jewish people from those nations that are more powerful, from the hand of the Chazak, the nations that are more powerful, Mimenu, from the Jews. These nations are more powerful, Mi'Yisrael, from who is delivered in the hand of the nation that's more Chazak. Mimenu is a term defining the Jewish people. And the Yad Chazak are the Umos HaOlam. Hashem at this point in time has redeemed the Jewish. No. The Jewish people in the past. The Jewish people in the past have been delivered in the hands of the Umos HaOlam who are Chazak. The Umos HaOlam are in time of Galus Chazak. the Jewish people, they're stronger mimenu than the Jews. The Goyim are stronger mimenu than the Jewish people. Now Hashem is redeeming the Jewish people from the hands of those that are more, that are stronger than them. Mimenu is a term describing the Jewish people. Ugi Olo, Hashem has redeemed him, who is him, Klal Yisrael, Miyad, from the hand, Chazak, of the strong hand of the Umos Olam, Mimenu, of that are stronger than him, than the Jewish people. Okay, I think it's straightforward. Okay, let's see here the Rashi, if there is any. Mizorah, he just has over here a French word. Michal, you know what this word means?
Scattered.
Radak, Pasik Tes says, Shimu, listen, Mizore Yisrael Yikabetzenu, the one that has dispersed the Jewish people, may he now step in and gather them. Mi Shezore Oisovi Higulehu Bein Humos, the one that has scattered the Jewish people and has exiled them among the nations, Hu Yikabtsu, may he now come and gather them in. Viedu Hagoim Kilo Bekoichom Higluhu. And the Goyim should become aware that it was not due to their power that the Jews went into exile. Rather, Shahari al Korcham Yotzi Enu Merishusam the Yeshivuhu Li Arza. Im Lo Baratzon Akel, if not for the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shahari al Korcham Yotziuhu Merishusam, Hashem will now, against their will return them, will take them out of their nations, v'yashivu li'artso, and return them to his land, v'zeshama achkein kifado Hashem v'goymer liyat chozok. So the Radak is coming to them, why it says chozok mimenu. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula, it will then be a revelation that the Galus was the liyat Hashem. Until the Geula happens, it could appear to the naked eye that the reason why we've gone into Galus is because the other nations are more powerful than us. And it's a natural event. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it happens throughout the world that nations rise up, they become very powerful, and they dominate and they conquer other territories. So until the time of Gula comes, it would appear the reason why the Jewish people were exiled was because there were more powerful nations who have become powerful and brought us into exile. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will force us, will take us out of their hands, and it will be l'mala miderech hateva, how we're able to escape their claws and return to Eretz Yisrael, it will then be a revelation, retroactively, l'mafreya, that this, that we went into Galus, was also through the Yad Hashem. The fact that Hashem will redeem us miyad chozok mimenu, is a gilui that the Golus was the Mizorei Yisrael Yikabsenu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu brought us into Golus. A very interesting point. Next pasuk Gidalf. Uvohu v'ridu bim roim tzion, and they will come. Who will come? Klal Yisrael will come. They will sing in the exalted place of Tzion v'noharu, and they will stream. They will stream like a river. El Tuv Hashem, to the goodness of Hashem, Al Dagon, V'al Tirosh, grain and wine, V'al Yitzar, V'al Bnei Tzon, cattle, Vokar, V'choyisun Nafsham Kigan Ravem, and their Nesham will be like a garden that's well watered. Lo Yosifu L'Dava Od, and they will no longer worry anymore. This expression, V'lo Yosifu L'Dava Od, is there's a minog to say this in the base of it. After the people say Hamakom Yinachem Eschem Esor Shavil Tzim Vishloim, so some have the minhag to say V'lo Yosifu L'Dava Od. They take this pasuk from Yirmiyahu and they say you should no longer agonize anymore. Now, what's important to know is this pasuk. People make this mistake. It's only supposed to be said Rachman Litzlan when a person loses a second parent. If a person has another parent, a person loses one parent and has a second parent, it's beferish in the halacha, you're not supposed to say this. Because then it would be the other way around. Because if you really, you're cursing the person. Because if a person has another parent, and
one of the parents.
If a person has one parent that's living, person is sitting shiva for the loss of one parent, and he still has living another parent. And if someone comes to give him comfort and says to him, "V'lo yosifu l'dava, oh, you should never suffer again," what do you really mean? That you should, what it's brought down the halacha svarim. It's brought down in the halachas farm.
Who made up that?
It's a minhag. It's a minhag. I don't know. In Israel, you don't hear this in America that much. You hear that this is more.
What is it? A 30-year-old minhag? A 40-year-old minhag?
It's brought down. You know where it's brought down? There's a sefer. I saw this in a very popular halacha sefer.
But this minhag, is it a
new minhag?
100 years old or it's less?
I don't know the answer. I do not know the answer. It seems
it's
a
minhag that's new. So
well, even saying Hamokom Yinachem.
In Yiddish, they always say it. Right?
Oh, so in, but it,
that's the same thing.
It's the same thing, but it comes from.
So you can't say it by one after one parent. There's only one
for a second parent.
This pasuk, that's what it's brought down. It's brought down, this pasuk is not to be said of a person as a limb, because that basically means the person should die before his parents.
Very good, but my question is, if the minhag is not so old, so we're putting on halachas on minhag.
I do not know. First of all, in America, you don't hear it said that much.
It's an Israeli expression.
It's an Israeli. V'lo Israelis, you always hear Israelis saying this. He'll say hamakom, and then they'll say these words, v'lo yosifu l'dava od. You're not supposed to say this, because that basically, if a person will not suffer any more in his lifetime, that basically means that the person will predecease his living parent, and that's a curse for the living parent. You don't want. So it's natural. It's derech ha'olam for a person to suffer twice. To suffer twice, meaning that he should outlive his parents. That's derech ha'olam. That's a healthy thing. That's a normal thing. The parents live to 120, and he will outlive.
Why
so
did you say that? It means that both should be Greek Mashiach, but none of them should die.
I don't know why. I don't know. So it's brought down that this expression. I remember when I was sitting Shiva, someone showed this to me. It's brought down that this expression is not to be said to a person that has a living parent. It's only to be said to a person.
A sibling, a wife, or child?
No, parent.
To a parent, if a person is sitting shiva for a parent, anyone, if a person has a living parent, he should. This expression should not be said.
What about a wife?
Okay, I don't know all the details. I don't know so let's just leave it in a very simple situation. I don't know the details. I don't know. But if a person is sitting shiva for a parent, let's just leave it with this. You do see in a Beis Avel people going over to the Avel and saying Hamakom and then saying this expression. I've seen this number of times. Especially I grew up in a Young Israel environment. And Young Israel, no, they don't say, they say this pasuk, the Mamash say these words, V'lo yosifu l'da'avot. I've seen this. In Israel, it appears, I asked someone in Israel is very common. In Israel, this is a very common thing that's said by Charedim, because everyone speaks Hebrew, they speak language, and they take this pasuk. But if it is brought down, again, that if a person is a living parent, it's not to be said, because that would mean the person should predecease his parent. That is not a good thing, obviously. Okay, fine. That, so then it comes from this pasuk here. Now let's take a look. What?
First of all, you say lo yosifu. It doesn't say you don't put.
Lo yosifu. It's
you say lo yosifu.
So when you say you don't have tzar, I guess it's not the same thing. You're not saying a pasuk; it doesn't have the same potency.
But that's what we say. That's
right. That's what we say. The minhag is to say. So the minhag is. I once heard Rav was very upset. He said, "Why do you have to add more than what Chazal have given you?" The minhag ha'olam is to say hamakom yinachem eschem. That's what's brought down. That itself, Yishno, is a big mystery. Where does that nusach come from? Hamakom yinachem. I saw it really comes from. It comes from the nusach is said by Bikur Cholim. When you go, I think the Rambam uses this expression, or maybe it's even in Medrash. When a person goes to the Mevaker Chole, there's an expression. You say Hamakom Yirape Eschem. There's an expression. I don't remember the details where this expression is used for Bikur Cholim, and it's been adapted. It's been adapted for a base oda. Okay, but that has become tradition. For a person on his own to go and start giving all these lavish brachos, you can give those lavish brachos before. But when you officially do the Nicham Avelim, why do you feel that you have to outdo Chazal? Chazal gave you the Nusach. So you, it's not good enough for you. You have to have more. You know better than Chazal. Chazal said this is what should be said. This expression captures everything that needs to be said. Nothing more. More.
So why
is it done? I don't know. I just once heard this argument presented that he doesn't understand why people always feel they have to go and say something personal after they say Hamoki Menachem, as if to say it's not. That's just for beginners. That's just for the Amaratzim. That's not true. That you want to go and express yourself. That's when you're coming to be Menachem Avol. You're sitting there by the Avol for 5 minutes. That's the time you can say to him everything you want to say, you want to express. That's the time when you can be creative and personal. And then when you leave, you just say the pasuk Hamokim Menachem, and you're finished. Okay, it is a minig, it is brought down that this also is said, but again, it's only said, Rachmana Litzlan, at the loss of a second parent. Let's just finish up very quickly because we're out of time. Pasuk Yidal from the Mitzudo Stavit. You know what? It's already late, so we'll leave this already for next week. Okay, we'll leave it.